From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on The Field Trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area and Marin County. I'll talk to actors, writers, producers, directors, some of the people who make the Bay Area a fun and fantastic place to live. So let's get right to it. If you happened to see the Architectural Digest issue last year, which featured a remodel of a 1913 utilities building in Sausalito into a home, you've seen the work of my guest on today's Field Trip. He's architect David Ludwig. But he's more than an architect, he's what's commonly known as a Renaissance man, with interests in design, music, dance, and the environment. He got his degree in architecture from Cal, spent many years designing over 100 residential and small commercial buildings in the Bay Area, and inspired by his four daughters' ballet classes, David began taking classes himself with the Berkeley Ballet Theatre and later danced the role of Drosselmeyer in their Nutcracker for over a decade. In the mid-90s, he went part-time as an architect and opened an art business creating painted theatre backdrops on silk. And after a chance meeting with musician Miles Copeland, he designed and painted backdrops for Broadway shows as well as beautifully painted silk veils for dancers. In 2005, he went back to solo architecture, and after seeing Al Gore's movie An Inconvenient Truth, he decided to walk the walk. He sold his home and moved into a solar-powered Airstream trailer, in which he still lives. And he opened his current art and architecture and design studio in the IBC building in Sausalito, which was where I caught up with him last weekend at the current Marin Arts Open Studios Tour. Please welcome to The Field Trip, David Ludwig. Welcome, David.
Thank you.
When I was chatting with you the other day, you were working on a very beautiful piece of silk, and you were explaining to me how you paint that silk. It was a veil for a dancer, I think.
Well, the dance veils that I produce are large format art pieces, and it's an idea that I came up with in about 1995, and I started producing these veils for my friends who were dancing with me. I was studying belly dance at the time. I advanced my studies from ballet into jazz, where I took a class from David Jones for 5 years at the College of Marin. And then I became interested in Middle Eastern dance. And even though very few men study that dance form in this country, it's very common in the Middle East to see dance troupes that are half men and half women. So I enjoyed studying that form of dance, and I saw an opportunity to create some dance veils and began producing them, and have been doing so ever since. I keep about 36 veils in stock, and I take them to various dance performances where there are vendors selling costume items associated with the belly dance world, and I sell a few veils at each event.
The one you were painting was very beautiful, I have to say. You know, although you're an architect and relatively conservative-looking, you're a guy who's sort of offbeat. You wear an earring and necklaces, and you paint silk, and you live in an Airstream trailer. Tell me a little bit about the evolution of your feeling about the environment.
Well, the environmental piece came about 2006 or 2007. Of course, I've always been interested in the environment. I was a backpacker and had many trips into the Desolation Wilderness and the High Sierras, and I've always enjoyed the outdoors. So I've had that interest in the environment, but it took Al Gore's movie, Inconvenient Truth, to really bring all of the ideas that were floating in my head home to me. And as an architect, I've been asked to design many very large scale homes for my clients who feel that they need to have a certain amount of space to be comfortable in their lifestyle. And I wanted to do something that would be an example for them without needing to challenge them in any way directly in my design process. They're aware of the fact that I live in a small space, and it makes them a little more circumspect about their requirements. requirements for more and more space.
Well, I know that you have some designs for homes that incorporate the Airstream trailer, or trailers in general, don't you?
Yes, I came up with a series of designs for what I call Airstream barns. And the concept there is to create an inexpensive shell space that provides indoor parking for the Airstream, and then provides the additional space that one would need for an art studio, storage, or guest space, but continues to use the Airstream itself as the primary core element of the building. And I haven't actually had a client proceed with a project on that basis, but I was written up and did a lot of advertising in the national Airstream magazine called Airstream Life. And so I created these images for that advertising.
Those are iconic vehicles, aren't they?
They are. They've been in continuous production since 1931, except for the war years. And I've been considering the idea of living in an Airstream for about 25 years. My parents sold the home my father built for us in 1970 and moved into a mobile home down in Santa Barbara. And in their park, every once in a while, other travelers would come through who were living in Airstreams. So that's where I got my first introduction. And it was more of a curiosity than a real goal for myself, until I happened upon a dealer in 2006 who had a row of brand new gleaming Airstreams in his park, in his sales lot out in Los Banos, California. And what I was surprised to find is that the interior had been designed by a local architect, Christopher Dean, who lives in Mill Valley, and whose wife is the owner or manager of Dwell Magazine. And that new vehicle and new interior was a complete inspiration to me.
Well, I know that you've gone paperless in your office, right? Your architecture office, which is in the building there in Sausalito, was paperless.
That's correct.
So you use computer-assisted design for everything.
That's right. It was part of my interest in following the development of CAD, or computer-aided design, which has taken over the architecture profession since the early 1990s. I was a Macintosh-based person, and there was a program called ArchiCAD, which was designed for the Macintosh computer. I began learning that in the early 1990s, and by the time I opened my own office in 2005, I was ready to make the final transition from hand drawing to computer drawing. And of course, that made total sense when I moved into my trailer and in my smaller office here, that I would not have a lot of paper.
So now when you work for a client, you can actually drive to the location and live there in your trailer while working on the architecture.
That's correct. I did that recently. I have a client in San Juan Bautista, and I'm designing a lodge for them. And I suggested that I bring my trailer down for a week. And so I did just that and parked the trailer on the site of the lodge. And then four or five members of the family who had hired me came down and stayed in the existing ranch house there. And we met two or three times a day, where I was able to show them in 3D the development of my ideas. And they were able then to go out from the trailer and walk around the site and see exactly how the building would be situated and what the views would be and things like that.
It's a brilliant idea. And I know that you have another pretty good idea. It's called Spirit of the Nest. It's a home detailing and renovation idea. Tell me a bit about that.
Well, as you know, the economy has had a tremendous impact on the building profession. And actually, the statistics really speak for themselves. In 2008, there were 200,000 residential building permits issued in the state of California. And in 2010, there were only 40,000 issued. So that's an 80% reduction. And that's exactly what I experienced in my own business, an 80% reduction of income. And many architects have been forced to close their office and lay off their staff. So I came up with this idea of creating a special focus on small projects so that my clients would be able to have sophisticated design input into their lives without needing to borrow a lot of money or make a large investment in times when the economy is tough.
So you suggest things like space planning and lighting and media systems and even general home repairs, things that normally people wouldn't be able to afford an architect to do for them, but you put all this into a little package called the Spirit of the Nest.
That's correct. Yeah, I was actually trained as a carpenter by my father, and when I opened my business in 1972 in Berkeley, there wasn't any design work for architects, so I decided to create a design build business. And so for the next 17 years in Berkeley, I built 115 projects in the East Bay, where I was the architect and then the general contractor. So I developed all of these building skills, and it turns out that this interest in the actual building process has really gone a long way to making me an attractive designer for the contractors I work with. As you know, there's oftentimes difficulty in communication between architects and contractors. And I found that my hands-on building experience has gone a long way in bridging that gap and creating friendships among contractors.
Well, I think it's a great idea, David. I really do. And you're a fascinating guy. If people want to get a hold of you, I know that they can see you at your studio at the Marin Open Studios, which is also takes place next weekend, doesn't it?
That's correct. It's Saturday and Sunday from 11 to 5.
More information on that is at Marin Arts Open Studios, marinarts.org is their address. And I urge people to go down and see what David's doing in his great little studio there. You'll see some beautiful silk designs. You can find out more about David at ludwigdesign.com. David, thank you very much for coming on the show today. It's a real pleasure talking to you. You're a fascinating guy, and continued success.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me today on The Field Trip. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that The Field Trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Comcast Cable Channel 26, on your computer at radiosausalito.org, or 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends. If you didn't, please tell your enemies. So until next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed the preceding Radio Sausalito presentation. You'll find more great jazz programming and podcasts updated every week online at radiosausalito.org.